This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world.
Said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Let us pray. Gracious God, our Creator, Sustainer, Redeemer, Deliverer, we come humbly before you on this day as we come to this preaching moment. God, we pray right now that I would sit down and you would stand up. Speak through me, speak through us, that your will might be done, and your servants might hear, but not just be hearers, that we may follow your word and do your will. Bless us, Lord, that we can be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen. Our subject for today, let's do God's will. Let's do God's will. Wow. It's been 40 years. Wow. 40 years. And actually, it was on the fourth Sunday in March in 1982 when you all had a vote here after worship. And y'all voted, and back then, there's a tradition that First African has, and I hope we'll keep, and a lot of churches do it, not all, but a lot of churches do it. And I don't know how the first vote went, but the tradition is that you asked for a second vote. Deacon Johns, you were there. And the second vote was to show that it was unanimous so they could tell the incoming pastor the church voted for you unanimously. Yeah, I knew better than that, but it sounds good. It sounds good. So, yes, and I received the message. I was in Albany, Georgia at Mount Zion Baptist Church when I received the call, and Deacon James told me that you all had considered me to be pastor. And he actually said these words. He says, Tillman, we have voted this morning, because it took him all day to reach me. We didn't have cell phones. We had been in Atlanta. We left Atlanta and went to a concert in Mount Zion in Albany. So he called us at the church in Albany. And I don't know what made him call there, because you know most people don't have a church tonight, but he called there. And they picked up and told me I had a call. And Deacon James said these words, Sister Gibbs Bradshaw, I'll never forget, he said, "We had a meeting on this morning, church conference, and we have decided to tentatively call you as pastor. Do you accept?" And I said, I tentatively accept. So, for 40 years, I've been your tentative pastor. I can't believe that 40 years, to God be the glory. Allow me to thank God and allow me to thank you, First African Baptist. I thank God for you for all these years. I thank you. I thank my wife. I thank our family. I'm just so grateful for what this has done. This was my first and only pastorate. And I sincerely love you. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to serve and actually to preach on this Sunday. Because in 40 years, I don't believe I preached this particular Sunday. It's always the Sunday after Resurrection Sunday that we have our pastor appreciation. I don't believe, I know I haven't ever preached in this part. But this is special to me, and you'll see why in a minute. Over all these years as a pastor, and I believe I can speak for all pastors, it's our desire, it's our responsibility, it's the pastor's duty to make sure as much as possible that those of you who are under our charge, those who are under the pastor's charge, members of that particular church, it's our responsibility to make sure you don't miss heaven. That's it. To make sure you don't miss heaven. And I say that because when I first got here, everybody was asking me about the history of the church. You at that historic church, how do you feel? You know, you at the oldest black church in North. Well, I didn't have a feeling about that because I had a greater charge. Yeah. And my charge was the souls of those who were members of the historic church. Whatever else we are, we could be historic, we're beautiful, world-renowned, global, but we will always be his church. Yeah. So this is one thing that jumps out at me, one passage, and this I've told you over and over again, the only nightmare that I have is this nightmare, and the nightmare is that there's a member of First African Baptist Church who gets to the pearly gates, gets before the Lord, and he says, depart from me. I know you not. And then that member starts saying, oh, no, Lord. I'm a member of the historic First African Baptist Church where the Reverend Thurman Neal Tillman, I don't call my name. Don't do that. No, don't call my name. So I really try to do all I can to make sure that we understand what God calls us to do, what he requires, and what needs to happen to come to know him. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 says these words, and this is why this is so real. Matthew 7, 21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Well, for years, like I said earlier, the history didn't really hit me. It must have been about the fifth year that the history really hit me, and I realized the historical value. But seeing that we truly want to make heaven our home, let's look at three things relative to doing God's will. We have to do his will. The first thing, and we know we're talking about winning 10, winning others to Christ, but the first thing I want to make sure we're clear of, you have to be personally connected. You have to be personally connected. If we are to win 10, or if we're to successfully win any, we must be one ourselves. Amen. You might can sell a product you don't believe in. But if you truly, really believe in that product, and you love that product, others will see it in you, and you have a better chance of selling whatever it is if you really love that product, you really know about that product, and you believe it's best for them to buy. Just because I make myself get up and come to church, just because I woke up maybe didn't necessarily get dressed, but I decided to tune in to worship on today. Just because I decided to just go the extra mile and do some things that other people are not doing, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have bought the Christian package.
All right now.
Even though it's already paid for.
All right now.
Are you personally connected or partially curious? Maybe you're saying, but let's just see how this works. I'll try this thing out for a while. Are you still on the test drive, or have you fully purchased and accepted what the Lord has provided?
All right.
It's an individual and precious choice. The question is, are you personally connected with Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Are you personally connected with Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Did you make up your mind to say, Father, Lord, I've sinned. I'm sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you all the days of my life.
Amen.
And then in the Baptist church, you say, I'm willing to be baptized. Right. That's the Great Commission says that we ought to be baptized. So we go and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Did you really make that commitment? Now, I know for many of us who attend church and all, we came because our family was in church. We started out being made to come to church. And then, I don't know, when we got older, we said, well, I ain't going to make my child go to church. I'm going to let them make up their own mind. Remember that? I remember saying, I'm not going to make them come. I'm going to let them make their own mind up. And then they found so many other things to do. And it don't come. It says, train up a child the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So even though we came because our family was coming, did we ever at a point say, I decided to make Jesus my choice? I confessed it. I joined the church at age 6, Mount Bethel Baptist Church in Daytona Beach, Florida. I did it at age 6 for 2 reasons. One, I wanted to sing in the children's choir, because Altamese Harris was in that choir. I wanted to be in the choir with Altamese, all right? And second, I wanted to drink the wine like everybody else. It had very little to do with Jesus. So I was a member of the church. I was a member, and I could do all the things. I was a member of, Sister Tillman, I was 6 years old. Understand this now, that, and there are many of us who came, who walked down the aisle, joined the church, but at some point we had to do what I did also. Yeah, at some point you had to say, wait a minute, I really realize God does love me. I really do realize that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I am willing to trust him all the days of my life. I'm willing to do what God has called me to do. I got personally connected. And every last one of us did do it. And I know once you walk down that aisle, it's hard to walk down it again. I know you don't want to pay. Ooh, I thought she was already saved. Where's she going? Ooh, I thought he got a position. I thought he was saved. Look at, ooh, I can't believe. Ooh, they just got saved this morning. I thought they were already saved. Listen, I don't want anybody to miss heaven.
Amen.
Make sure you take that time to personally get connected. And one of the things, one of the ways you know you're personally connected is if you're willing to do his will. If you don't want to do nothing, I can tell you right now, you ain't saved. If you just join, you say, I'm going to be a pew member, not saved. I got to let you know that there are things that you should do once you come, all right? So what is it that we do, all right? First, you're personally connected. Once you're personally connected, secondly, we must persistently communicate.
Amen.
We must persistently communicate with the one to whom we're personally connected. Apostle Paul says we ought to pray without ceasing. Jesus says men ought always pray. Proverbs 3:5-6 puts it this way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will, yes he will, make your path straight. Or he will, as King James put it, direct your path. Yeah, he'll guide you, he'll direct you. There's a story of a lady in Daytona. When I was in Daytona, I remember Dad preached this message, and my dad was preaching about this lady who in Daytona got up with, she went shopping, and she got on the bus, and when she was getting off the bus, she slipped. She missed a step, she slipped, and she hit the ground, and she hurt her knee. And she was one of the faithful members, one that's always praying and giving God praise and all of this sort of stuff. And she was telling my dad about how she fell, how she hit her knee, and how terrible that was. And then she, in the midst of her talking, said to my dad, she said, "Well, I was praying to God about this. Why, God, would you allow me to fall and hurt my knee? As much as I love you, as much as I care, as much as I serve, why would you allow that?" And then she said, wait a minute, God, I just realized. When I left this morning, I didn't acknowledge you or ask you to go with me. She said, "So serve me right." We should acknowledge it. We should at all things. You know, some folk, sometimes we only want to pray when it's real bad. And you know, when you personally commit your life and your way to Christ, when you personally commit your way and your will to Christ, stuff will happen like it never happened in your life before. Do I get a witness? You came to Jesus as you were, weary, worn, and sad. You found him a resting place. He made you glad. But as soon as you've come to Christ, stuff started happening you never had happen in your life before. Trouble will come on every side. But God will give you a peace that passes all understanding. Why does God even allow Satan to tempt us and to try us and to tease us? Well, truth be told, the reason God allows it is because these are the times when we will persistently communicate with him.
All right.
We stay on our knees when we stay in trouble.
Amen.
I say we stay on our knees when we stay in trouble. It's kind of funny sometimes though, but I remember just going to the hospital sometime and I've heard people to say, "Y'all call pastor? Am I that sick?" It's just something about when we get into trouble. But I urge you to have a purposefully calculated, biblically seasoned prayer life.
Amen.
Yes. Yes. A biblically seasoned prayer life.
Yes.
Pastor, what are you talking about? I know we can all pray. We can always pray and ask God, do this, God, do that, God. We can always pray. But we also must make sure that as we talk to God, that we also will listen to God.
Amen.
God has something to tell us. And we need to take time to listen to what he has to say to us so as we can receive his word. So how does he speak to us? He speaks to us through his word.
Amen.
That's why we need to study his word also. We study, read his word. That's why many times when we are praying, when our meetings and everything we do in the first African, that's why we have the scripture and then the prayer. Somebody said, "Well, why do we have the scripture first and then the prayer? Because more people do the prayer first than the scripture. Why do the scripture first?" I said, "Well, the prayer is our talking to God. The scripture is God talking to us. What's more important?" And sometimes if we listen to what God has to say to us, it might just change what we got to say to God. He clearly speaks to us through his word. And we must persistently communicate, not just talk, but listen and receive. We must listen to what he has to say. We must be willing to adjust to what God has to say to us. We need to listen to his still small voice. We need to allow God to direct our paths. Once you connect with him and the Holy Spirit takes up residence in you, as Baptists, we believe that once you have accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and it's not because you've been so good, not because you've done all the things right, not because you're in the right place at the right time, not because of your education, not none of that stuff. It's because he loves us so much that he died for our sins and rose from the grave. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Because he died, he shed his blood for our sins. So we come to him, and once we connect with him, then we must passionately and persistently communicate with him. And after we communicate, after we come to him, after we begin to pray, after we begin to listen, communicate, that's listening and receiving, communication, as we do that, we must go one other step. We must be passionately committed. When you become a Christian, you just don't come committed to not do stuff. I know most folk think that Christians are the people who don't do anything. They don't drink. They don't cuss. They don't smoke anything. They don't this, they don't that. They don't steal, they don't kill, they don't this, they don't. That's not what a Christian is. Let me say, that's not what a Christian is. I say it all the time. If that was a Christian, then as you drive home, you could look at all them Christian stop signs. They just stand right there and do nothing but say stop. No, no. Even when Jesus asked the question in Matthew 22, he said, well, what's the greatest of all commandments? What's the greatest of all the commandments? He could have easily said, you shall not. Jesus had an opportunity to pick out one of the shall nots and say, you shall not. That's the greatest. But he said, you shall. There's something you have to do. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He gave us something to do. So we have to position ourselves to do that that God wants us to do. Well, what is it that God wants us to do? What is his will? Folks keep saying that. What's his will? I want to know his will. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 tells us, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, not willing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. If that's what God wants, if God wants everybody to be saved, if that's what God wants, shouldn't that be what we want? I'll tell you something else you heard for the last 40 years almost. If you want what God wants, then you will get what you want. God kind of knows how we are. God knows that we are. He knows that we're selfish because we all came to him out of selfish motives. God knows that about us. So he used our own self so we could do what he desires. If you want what God wants, you'll get what you want. In other words, God knows what you want, and you say, well, let me make my mind up to do it God's way, and I get what I want. You say, well, that's not why I serve God. Yeah, we got selfish motives, but if you really want the things that you want, you ought to do the things God really wants you to do. That's the best of both worlds. But we have to trust him enough to do what he wants us to do. We have to believe in him, believe in his word, and follow his word, so we'll do what he wants us to do. And the flip side of that, you'll get what you want. I know somebody said, well, Pastor, that sounds good, but show me that in the word of God. All right, I'm going to go quickly and show you the word of God. Psalm 37. Verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you, not charge you, not put it on layaway. Delight yourself in the Lord. Put him first. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Y'all ever heard this? Anybody who prays at 6:33 in the morning? Yeah, Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things will be added to you. Yes. Put him first. Yes. Oh, yes. John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. Yes. And it will be done for you. Yes. Did you hear that? Abide. In other words, put him first, abide in him, do what the Lord says, do the work. He says we need to do his will. Do what the Lord says, do. Abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever. Does anybody know what whatever is? What's whatever? Ask whatever. That's what the Bible says. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. And we know it's his will that all should come to know him. We know that's his will that all should come to know him. It's God's will that after everything's created and he's done everything, it's his will that if at the end of all time he went to the door of hell and opened the door of hell, nobody would be there. If that's his will, we have to make up our minds and decide. We have been commanded to love. We've been commissioned to go and make disciples. But the question is, how do we make disciples? Oh, I'm so glad. This is what I'm going to get to. How do you make disciples? We've been hearing this all these years. How do we make disciples? What can I do to make sure that others will hear the word of the Lord and come to know Jesus? How do we win the loss? And I want to share with you the same way Jesus did. Yeah. by serving.
Amen.
That's what we call to do. By serving. Listen to what Jesus says in Mark chapter 10, beginning verse 42. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentile lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus came to serve. We should serve also. Yeah. As with all people, and as people talk to us and talk with us, be willing to meet their needs.
Amen.
When people are telling you how things are going on in their life, don't just start thinking about how bad things in your life and then you dump that on them. Listen to what people are saying and figure out a way that you can serve, because that's why you've been called. And that's why when we're doing the Win 10, we're not asking you individually to take on all this. That's why we're working with our various ministries. That's why we're working with our various ministries. Because as we're listening to others and sharing what others need, as a group, we can meet those needs where individually we probably can't. Because we believe the word of God, it says, "And my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches." Not according to your checkbook, but according to his. Oh, y'all got to hear me this morning. I never forget when we were having a 7 a.m. Bible study every Thursday. And this guy came in from the bus station, came into church, came and sat with us in Bible study. And he was sitting there smiling the whole time Bible study. He's just sitting there smiling. So in the middle of the Bible study, I stopped and said, what's going on? He's sitting there smiling. He said, "Oh, I'm smiling." He said, "I just got out of prison, and I'm sitting here with y'all because I know y'all going to help me." I said, why are we going to help you? We're going to help me. Y'all going to help me. Why are we going to help you? He said, "Well, the Bible says, 'And God shall supply all of our needs according to his riches.' Y'all represent God, don't you?" Oh, yeah, we helped them. Oh, yeah, we helped them. It's just telling us that together, as ministries, we can serve the world. We can serve our community. Seeking God, shaping lives, serving the... Let's start by serving right around us. And together we do that. That's not... See, if you take it on individually, we won't ever serve anybody. But if we serve as a group, we're able to do certain things. I remember times we had the... what do we call them? When everybody was in different group tribes, we had all the tribes, and we were doing fulfillment. That's right, fulfillment. We had various tribes and everything else. I'll never forget, somebody called me at home, and she was so happy on the phone, said, "Pastor Tillman, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you. I said, "Well, what?" She said, "Oh, your folks came over here. The zebras came over here, and the zebras were just helping to change them, and they helped my daughter. She's sick. She has cancer, and the zebras came and helped." I said, "The zebras? What is this lady talking about? The zebras came over here." But we had one of the tribes named Zebulun. And she was excited by the way we were serving. Listen, all I'm saying, I'm done. All I'm saying is be passionately be committed to do God's will. If we love God, we have to love others. And if we love others and serve others, we will win the lost for Christ. Yeah. How do we win them? How do we win them? We win them by loving. We win them by serving. We win by being Christians. We win by being Christ-like. What does that mean, being like Christ? Doing the things Christ did. He loved, he forgave, he served. We can be passionately committed to Jesus because he's passionately committed to us.
Amen.
Well, Pastor, I dare you to ask me, how do we know that he is passionately committed to us. I dare you to ask me, how do you know he's committed to us? Okay. Nobody want to know? Okay. Anybody want to know how he's committed to us? Oh, I was wondering. All right. I know what you're saying. You say, Pastor, we know. That's why y'all didn't ask. Y'all said we know. Because what did he do? He came through 42 generations. And he went about doing good. Out of all the good he did, folk talked about him, ridiculed him, called him everything but a child of God. But look at our Lord and Savior. He was our example of how we are live. He was our example of how we are loved. Can you see him? Can you see our Lord and Savior? When they tried to trick him up, he didn't get mad with him. He just went right on and did what he had to do because he knew he had to head toward Jerusalem. Can you see our Lord and Savior? Even after he marched over palm branches, can you see our Lord and Savior? Even as the crowd came together and the religious leaders were trying to figure out how they could kill him, how they could get rid of him because they were jealous of all the power that he had. Can you see our Lord and Savior when he went to the upper room with his disciples? And as he sat with his disciples, he took the bread and the wine, he gave it to them and said, this do in remembrance of me. Can you see our Lord and Savior as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane? And even as he prayed, and he left there, and they arrested him. Can you see our Lord and Savior as they arrested him, and they took him from judgment hall to judgment hall? Can you see him as they whipped him all night long, and they pulled the hair out of his beard? Can you see him when they hit him with the rods? But he said not a mumbling word. Can you see our Lord and Savior when he allowed men to do all that they were doing to him? Can you see him when they marched him up to Golgotha's hill? Can you see him as he's marching up there with a crown of thorns on his head? Can you see our Lord and Savior when they put nails in his hands and nails in his feet with a crown of thorns on his head? Can you see our Lord and Savior as he's hanging on the cross, dying for all of your sins, dying for all of my sins? Can you see our Lord and Savior? He's hanging there. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can you see our Lord and Savior even as he's dying on the cross for all of our sins? There's a convicted felon, one on death row, who's dying because of the things he's done. But can you see our Lord and Savior taking time out to evangelize, even from the cross, and say, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Can you see our Lord and Savior? He can evangelize in all that pain from the cross. We ought to be able to evangelize from our car, and from the couch, and from wherever else we are. The Bible says, he died. He died. But the story doesn't stop there. They placed him in a bar or two. He stayed there all night Friday. He stayed there all day Saturday. He stayed there all night Saturday night. But the Bible says it was early. I said early. On that Sunday morning, he got up with power over the grave. Victory over death. He was risen in the heavens. Sent the Holy Spirit to live in us and to guide us and to direct us. And to show us how to reach the masses. Oh, yes, he did. He showed us. He said that if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. We must lift the Savior up so the dying world can see our living Savior. How to reach the masses. Serve. How to reach the masses. Love. How to reach the masses, forgive, as the Lord has forgiven us. How to reach the masses, lift the Savior up for all to see. How to lift them, the Word of God teaches us, and the song says, lift them up, forgive them, as a Christian ought.
How to reach the masses, men of every birth, for an answer, Jesus gave the key, yes he did, he said and I. If I be lifted up from the earth, He said, I'll draw all men unto me. Here's another thing. Oh, the world is hungry. Hungry for the living bread. Lift the Savior up for men to see. If we lift him up, then men will gladly, they will follow him who once taught. He said, I'll draw all men unto me. Here's what Jesus said he would do. He said, I'll draw men. I'll draw. He said, I'll draw men. Oh, draw all men unto me. Sing it with the First African. Draw men. Draw men. Yeah, yeah. He said, I will draw all men unto me. One more verse. Lift him up by living. Oh, as a Christian art. Let the world in you and me the Savior see. And when they see Christ in us, then men will gladly, they will follow him who said, I'll draw all men unto me. Come on, everybody. Draw men, come on. Draw men. Come on, say it. Draw men. Hey, yeah, yeah. Draw men on. Jesus said it. Jesus said, I'll draw. I'll draw men. Yes, I will. I'll draw. Oh, here we go. It is so. Because it's so, everybody gonna say, amen. 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 Amen, amen. One more time. Amen. It is so. Can you lift your voice and say, amen? Amen. Oh, amen. Hey, yes, sir. The last time, without the music, let me hear y'all say amen. Amen. Woo. That means it is so. Put those hands up and say yeah. Let me hear ya. Oh, yeah. Woo. Yeah. Come on, come on. Yeah. Oh, no, no. Yeah. Can you just put both hands up? Put both hands up and say, yeah. Woo. Ow. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Can we tell the Lord one more thing? Can we tell the Lord one more thing? Can we tell the Lord one more thing? Thank you, Lord. Come on, come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Come on, clap those hands. Thank you. Thank you. I just wanna thank you, Lord. Y'all, no, I ain't quite through yet.
Don't go nowhere, Clarence. Don't go nowhere yet.
Don't do. I ain't going nowhere.
No, stay right here, because I need you 1 second. There's anybody who haven't accepted Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior? This the opportunity right now to come to the Lord. This the opportunity right now to say, Lord, I need you in my life. So if you're here today, we'll give you the opportunity to come, just walk down front. And others, right now, if you want to pray this prayer with us right now online, you can pray this prayer right now to receive the Lord into your life. And then let us know you've done just that. And on the number I gave you earlier, the number on your screen, you can also just type the word saying, this is the prayer, let's pray. Say, Father God, I have sinned. I have not been all I should be. I am sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life and help me to be what you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you, God, for saving me right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let us know you've done that. We can share with you together. Again, we're so grateful for the Reverend Clarence Teddy Williams, pastor of the First Pilgrim Baptist Church, worshiping with us today in First Hampton.
Tell me. Move out, move out, move out, move out, tell me. Oh, praise you.
After the benediction, we're going to have you have to meet again and leave as the ushers directly. Teach social distance as we leave. Thank you so much again for coming to worship. On this morning, we give God praise, honor, and glory. And we ask that you do that. Please come together. Thank you so much as you come to worship. Please come on back. Be with us. Don't forget 4 o'clock, NAACP, at St. Philip Monumental. Let us pray. God, our creator, sustainer, redeemer, we love you, we adore you, we magnify your name. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you in spirit and truth. Now we ask that the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit with the rest, ruler, and Bibles, now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let the people of God say amen and praise God. Yeah.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify. GiveLify. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.